The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What if you've heard that song from the Bible before? I know Eileen has. I think it's just about her favourite. It's probably the most famous psalm in the Bible. And perhaps you've heard it most at funerals, because it refers to the valley, the shadow of death. And yet it's jam-packed with hope and security. Which might make you think that the author had an easy life. He's in green pastures beside quiet waters. His cup is overflowing. He's in the lap of luxury. Maybe we begin to think that David, who wrote it, lived in an ivory tower. He was, after all, one of the greatest kings in Israel, a world superpower in his era, around 1,000 years before Jesus. So maybe he wrote this far from everyday troubles. It's so easy to talk about God as your provider and your protection when life is easy and your stomach is full. What did David know about real hardship? Did he face the stresses and sicknesses of life? What about injustice and bereavement? Well, if you examine the life of David back in the Old Testament books of 1 and 2 Samuel, you'll be in for a shock. As David had to flee several assassination attempts. During his lifetime, his best friend and three of his sons all died through sickness, warfare, and even through cold murder. And we don't know at what point in David's life he wrote this, but it so doesn't come from an ivory tower. This beautiful song of faith comes from a hard life, filled with difficulties and great losses. So it's written in the real world, the world that you and I know very well. Mind you, we easily assume that all these lovely words automatically apply to everyone. But actually, remember, these are the words of God's appointed king. God had made special promises to David, not least to be his shepherd. And in that era, to be a shepherd of someone was a nickname for being a king. You wonder why? Well, like a shepherd tending his sheep, a king provides for his subjects. He guides them to act rightly, and he protects them from enemies. And broadly, that's how the first few verses break down. He provides, he guides, and he protects. And that is how God blessed King David in his life. The title sums it up, "The Lord is my shepherd." David recognized the Lord as his king, and God blessed him. And you might say, well, that's all very nice for David, but what about us? Well, we'll get to that in just a moment. Realise, first of all, that King David passed on God's blessing to his own subjects. And God's blessing was then conveyed to a whole series of people through a succession of kings in David's royal line. They were never perfect. They only ruled temporarily, and only over a small area of the world. But God promised to show the same love to another descendant of David, nicknamed the Christ, the greatest king of all. God promised that this king would ride and arrive in his capital city, not on a war horse or a tank, but on a donkey as the Prince of Peace. And this Christ would rule the whole world and bring God's blessings to all his subjects. So all through the Old Testament, they're waiting for the Christ. And they had to wait 1,000 years from this point until finally he would arrive. Today we know him as Jesus, the Christ. God showers him with blessings, and he passes that on to his subjects. And so if you have Jesus as your king, this psalm reveals what kind of blessings Jesus passes on to you. Now maybe you sit here today and you don't know Jesus as your king yet. Well, listen in and discover what a delight it is to know Jesus as king. First thing we discover in this psalm is that he provides. He provides. That's in verses 1 and 2. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. Now some folks misunderstand this, especially the I shall not want bit. Some people have even said to me, oh, I can't possibly lose all my desires. I'm always going to want stuff. But no, hang on. It's not saying I don't want anything. Instead, it means what I need is satisfied, is provided. I shall want for nothing. I shall not be left wanting. Like a sheep in a lush meadow by a stream, I have all that I need. He provides. And this is emphatic throughout the Bible. The New Testament, the latter part of the Bible, unpacking the blessings of following Jesus, says this to Christians, Philippians 4 verse 19. My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. This isn't a promise that you'll get a Mercedes-Benz. But if you're in Jesus, if you're part of his kingdom and united to him, then God will provide for you. And I want to say, even in today's rich culture, that is massive. Numerous polls tell us that as a society we're richer than ever before, and yet more miserable than ever. Meanwhile, some of the poorest Christians in the world are the most content. Why is that? Or perhaps it's because they don't believe the lie that more stuff will make you happy at last. Instead, they know that with the Lord, they have enough food and clothing, and they can be content. Because the Lord will provide. They don't have the anxiety of losing it all. They don't have the stress of slaving for more and more. So very often in the West, we slog away in jobs that we don't like in order to get stuff that will only temporarily and fleetingly fill the void in our lives. And all the while, the Lord, our Creator and God, is ready and willing to satisfy our souls if only we will enjoy his rule and his rescue. See, real satisfaction is available. The Lord doesn't just provide the basics of life, of oxygen and water and bread and shelter and clothing and friendship. He also gives us himself, the very source of joy. And that's why we praise him so much. Psalm 63 verse 3 says, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Your love is better than life. That's how good it is to know Jesus. And it may be that you've never experienced this, and it seems bizarre to say it, but this relationship with the Lord is available today, and it is the reason why Eileen wants to celebrate with all of us. She is the most precious person in her life, the most satisfying shepherd who supplies her needs and resources her soul. So, he provides. But secondly, he guides. He guides. And that's in verse 3. He restores my soul. Carrying on that thought, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's very interesting. Who on earth needs their soul restoring? Who is fractured within? Who is screwed up inside? Wayward. Well, the honest answer would be all of us, actually. You and me. We're all broken. And that's why we constantly hurt other people. That's why we offend God all the time. We replace him with feeble substitutes, you see. We try to satisfy our souls in all kinds of other ways, but we end up guilty and lost and empty. We're wayward. We're a bit like a broken compass that's lost its bearings. And King David actually was a sad example of this. He tried to fill the void in his soul by sleeping with a beautiful woman. Trouble was, she was another man's wife. And she got pregnant. And he had to cover his tracks. So he, in the end, got her husband killed, albeit on the battlefield. David got totally lost. And that isn't far removed from our own experience, actually, because we tread on other people's toes. We trespass where we shouldn't be to grasp at what we think will satisfy us. And often, to cover our tracks, we make things worse. We're like a broken compass. No idea where to turn to find healing and life. Eileen read for us earlier Isaiah chapter 53, where the Bible aptly describes us as wayward sheep. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And look where it gets us. We're guilty and lost. That's our problem. Yet the wonderful thing is God provides a solution. The shepherd takes on himself our trespasses, the culpable wandering of his sheep. He takes our trespasses and our list of crimes, and he not only pays the fine with his own life, but he also brings sanity and healing to our souls. He takes up residence to restore our bearings, to guide us to true north. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, Jesus proclaimed, "I am the good shepherd." And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And that's what we celebrate every Easter. He died on the cross on the first Good Friday, and then he rose from the dead on the first Easter Sunday, witnessed by hundreds of people at the time. He wrote it down within a generation. They declared that in his death he had paid for our waywardness. We get forgiveness. And now that he lives, he guides his people. He brings healing. So that the compass of our lost souls is repaired. In Christ, our souls begin to point true north. And I've experienced this for as long as I've known Jesus. It is phenomenal. For the past 19 years, he's been changing me from someone very proud and selfish and greedy. For he is humble and selfless and generous, and I'm slowly being reorientated along those lines. And it's great to see him at work in me. He's got a lot of work left to do. But perhaps you see him at work in other Christians, like in Eileen. Christ not only satisfies his people, he heals them inside. He not only provides for us, he guides us. And thirdly, he protects. He protects. Verse 4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, in its original context, David was speaking literally of the darkest valley. It's a picture of something filled with dangers, like bandits and wild animals. That's what you'd find in dark valleys in those days. And if you're a sheep in that situation, well, you need a defender. You need a shepherd with a big rod, a cudgel, and a staff, a shepherd's crook, to lug the sheep back to safety. That's why it's such a comfort to have a shepherd with you. He defends you from dangers outside and dangers of your own waywardness. And this is something Jesus does for every Christian. He pulls us away from serious danger. Not necessarily from the challenges and the tough times in life, but he certainly pulls us away from stuff that will destroy us and screw us up. But the ultimate enemy that seeks our destruction, the darkest valley that we must all face, is death. And what comfort is the divine shepherd in that? Well, look carefully at verse 4 and you'll see that this is a fulcrum in this psalm. "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." This song about God's care for his king and for his people suddenly turns into a prayer. From talking about God, he's now talking to God. You are with me. And that's the comfort we all need as we face death. Not only has Jesus, our shepherd, gone through death and physically out the other side, but he is with us throughout life and will not let us go. And he promises that though these bodies may die, he'll not leave us in death. We will have new bodies in the future that will not die. And then we'll enjoy something really, really special. Elizabeth's not going to forgive me for this, opening chocolate, but we have a fabulous party to look forward to. You can have a piece afterwards, looks like it's all ready to break. We've got a party to look forward to. Verses 5 and 6 describe a plush banquet and endless hospitality in God's own home. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Christians, your cup might not overflow in this life. For now, he promises all that we need, not luxury. But in the future, there will come a party. There will come celebration. Verse 6 literally says, surely goodness and love will pursue me all the days of my life. That's pretty awesome. So instead of any enemies pursuing you, the only thing constantly wooing you will be God himself. That's who's going to pursue you, the one who's full of goodness and love. The great news, you see, is not just that he provides and he guides and he protects, but this love will go on forever. And what a celebration there will be. We'll have a party in his home. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It is so good to know God personally now, and it's even better to know the promise that one day we'll live with him. And he's not just like a shepherd, he's actually like a lover as well. He pursues us with his love. Does everybody enjoy rom-coms? I know it's not everybody's cup of tea. I love a good rom-com. Especially the kind of film where the lady, despite all her weaknesses and mistakes, indeed in her weaknesses and mistakes, constantly bumps into a lovely man who just happens to be there just when she needs him, time and time again. He's there when her wretched boyfriend dumps her. He just so happens to be there when her stupid car breaks down. He's there when she's fired from her job. He's there at Christmas when everyone else has left. He risks his own life to rescue her when all is lost. And then he bends on one knee and asks for her hand. This is the kind of pursuing love that the shepherd has for each of us. He loves us dearly, not just as sheep, but as his bride. That's why he will provide for and satisfy you. He will guide and restore you. He will protect and never desert you. And he will celebrate with you if you'll have him. I recognize this might be new to some of you today. I want to say, today's a good day for receiving Jesus as your king. It's available, even now. I hope I've whetted your appetite for what a joy it is to know Jesus. Maybe some of what I've said is confusing to you. I wonder if you'd like to find out more. You can explore some more with a short course called Christianity Explored. Just chat to me afterwards. You can arrange a time to just go through it. It's very easy, very simple. Great news, though. The Lord can be your shepherd. Shall we bow our heads and pray? Heavenly Shepherd, we thank you that you not only provide for us and restore our souls and bring us guidance, you not only protect us from the greatest of evils, but you promise us eternal pleasures with you. We want to respond to your love this morning. We want to respond afresh. saying, yes, we will follow you. You are our King. We want your rescue. We want your love. And we want to love you in return. We trust you, Heavenly Shepherd. Amen.